Moving right along on Solidarity Breakfast with Annie, we're going to hear from Andrew Deppner. He's the national president of the Australian Manufacturing Workers Union. I caught up with him because he was talking about the role that manufacturing can play. And, of course, leading up to an election, this is serious and important business. They're also talking about the role that Australia could play in electric car manufacturing and what would be required to make this happen. We'll have a little follow-up piece from Senator Tim Ayres. He's a Labor senator. And it was from a piece from the Chifley Foundation when they were doing a session around regional industry and how that could be reinforced, and what policy settings would be required to make it possible to have kickstart regional industry and development. Anyway, they do dovetail together, so we'll hear what they've got to say.
Now, we had announcements early on in COVID with the Prime Minister busily talking up Australian manufacturing and the kick-starting, but that hasn't happened really, has it?
Well, what we found with the Prime Minister's so-called task force was that we entered into that in a spirit of cooperation. You know, the times were you know, looking fairly grim, and there was a desire to see manufacturing get back on its feet again. We swallowed our pride and didn't try and do anything to you know, suggest that, well, they'd closed down the vehicle industry and they'd been doing their level best to destroy manufacturing in this country. So we didn't mention any of that. We participated in that process, and it was quite good for a while, but it then, after about, I think, four meetings, it became very clear that Neb Power, who'd been appointed by Scott Morrison to undertake the role of chairing this task force, was pretty much just there to make excuses for and to give government plausible deniability, or at least cover, for the fact that what they were seeking to do was simply to give the LNG industry yet another opportunity to develop. And what they did was to simply say that a gas pipeline would solve all of our problems. We said that that was just not sensible, that whilst, you know, we want to see LNG as part of the energy mix as a transition to sustainable and renewable power, the fact is that what they were trying to do is to set up a process which would effectively have benefited about 11 companies in Australia, large companies admittedly, but the fact is that it really was going to do nothing for the vast bulk of manufacturing. And what we found was that this report was done under Neb Power's chairmanship. The actual mainstream manufacturing report was done too. But just to give you a glimpse into the thinking of government and the relative importance that they place on each of them, for the whole of manufacturing, which employs about 900,000 Australians, there was a 30-page report, but for LNG, the answer to our prayers, supposedly, it was a 50-page report. But, you know, the bad news is that neither of them were implemented. And so manufacturing, along with a whole range of other industries, has continued to languish under this government.
Well, your union and others have pointed out that there is actually huge opportunity for Australia in the electrical vehicle sector. Can you talk to our listeners about this?
You know, when we look, for instance, at the possibility that we have of developing an electric vehicle industry, we have a lot of politicians saying, oh, lithium deposits, oh, rare earth deposits. And of course, the only response that they make is, oh, let's mine it and ship it overseas to be processed. Whereas what we're saying is, if you play your cards right, you can use these lithium deposits to develop our own renewable battery resource, rechargeable battery resource, which, of course, is the key to electric vehicles. And given that electric vehicles are able to be produced here, There's no reason why that couldn't be the basis of a whole new industry. So, you know, we are prepared to work with government, with political parties, with business, and to try and develop and create a new electric vehicle industry in this country. But what it requires is some timely decisions. You know, I mean, Scott Morrison, he loves to turn a problem into a crisis. This is an opportunity to get in front of the wave and actually determine that there is going to be some positive action taken by the Australian government to set up a world-leading electric vehicle industry in this country, and which would then in turn build on those industries which come with it. And they'd all be renewable. They'd all be able to employ thousands upon thousands of workers. And it's something in which the technologies that we have in Australia, because we are a good adapter of technologies, and we try and make, well, some of the union has a role to play in this, we try to make those technologies as humanly focused and humanly centred as possible. And if we do that, then we are more than a chance to have a really strong electric vehicle industry. But, you know, time is of the essence. Within the next couple of years, when a lot of other countries, whether it be Korea, Japan, the United States or Germany, when they are producing electric vehicles, what we're saying is that you have got the opportunity here to do this, and you could probably do it in cooperation with various companies that you haven't scared off. We think that there is a great opportunity here for Australia's new manufacturing industries to be able to build up a new and high technology vehicle manufacturing industry, which would be based on the fact that we produce our own batteries.
So what are some of the things that would need to be done, do you think, in order to make this possible?
One thing is that they'd have to be bold. They couldn't just simply sit back and say, oh, it's all a bit too much of a problem. Oh, you know, let's read what Milton Friedman had to say back in the 1970s about government assistance. Oh, you know, let's sort of let the market decide. In fact, that's not the way it works. If we're going to have elaborately transformed manufacturers in this country, government has to take a strong role in ensuring that there's a good investment environment, and they also need to be saying, well, what are the technologies to be used? And if they cooperate and consult with workers and their unions, then there are much greater chance to be able to develop those technologies in ways that are commensurate with empowering workers, but also in developing these technologies to transform manufacturing, and in transforming manufacturing, transforming industry. So they can and should do those things. They are not really high cost issues. You know, the billions of dollars that this government has spent propping up companies through JobKeeper, if we had just a small proportion, or Qantas, or, you know, I mean, the thing is that if they were prepared to spend that level of money lining Gerry Harvey's pockets, then the least they could do is actually say, well, we're going to spend some of that money, or at least a similar amount, in developing an industry which actually has a future. We, believe it or not, we actually have a very, very strong robotics industry in Australia, but pretty much they only work overseas, with the exception of the mining industry. And so places like CSIRO, Flinders University, places like QUT in Queensland, where I'm from, University of Technology in Sydney, they are all doing world-leading stuff in terms of the technologies to be used. And there are companies in Australia, whether they be large multinationals like Siemens or smaller companies like Anker, which makes tools in Melbourne. We actually have the know-how here, but it takes an integrated approach to be able to develop those technologies and develop the people who can use those technologies.
Just put it into some context for people who are working on the ground, two quite obvious things that could happen, that would happen if something like this was backed, would be long-term strategy for vocational training, which is what young people are calling out for. And one way for this to happen is for the government to ensure that there's local procurement laws.
Oh, local procurement laws have to be a part of the mix. You know, you can't have a situation where the first port of call for a highly paid consultant is to corral all the usual suspects from overseas who can produce things at low cost, and then tell people that it's for the good of the country, that we're going to invest all of our money into overseas produced componentry and goods. You know, I mean, unless we have local procurement laws which provide for at least an even go, because right now the so-called playing field is strongly weighted against Australian goods. Unless we actually have that legislated, what we end up with is situations as we have at the moment, where they say, oh, they can't import to Australia if they are loss leading or dumping or whatever. Well, that's basically just the reverse side of free trade agreements, because what they say in the first place is, oh, we accept all of the favourable measures that might contribute to those industries being able to develop in places like South Korea, where effectively there is significant subsidies or subsidisation of car manufacture. And what we say is, oh, we accept that what they're doing is fair and reasonable. What we need to have instead is a government which doesn't play along with all this comparative advantage garbage and actually pursues good outcomes for Australian industry and good outcomes for Australian for workers here in Australia. I really think that that's a critical part of any mix, and procurement laws have to be revamped to ensure that we no longer think that oh, we have a free trade agreement with this country, and therefore they will, of course, compete fairly with us. You know, the end result of that is things like you currently see with China, with Japan, and elsewhere, where these goods are being landed, and people are going, oh, you're actually destroying our industries. It's like you say, well, yes, they are. You know, they're capitalists doing the business that you expect capitalists to do, but their government's backing them in. Our government seems to be wanting to be pure. You know, it's.
You mean you'd like them to go into bat for Australian industry?
A government that's went into bat for Australian workers and Australian industries. I'd like to see that.
Yeah. Oh, just before you go, this is really a sore point, because COVID has really shown that local manufacturing is a really important aspect to a nation's survival, really, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it's not just because we were so flat-footed in producing the vaccine in the first place, or for the fact that we, at the time when the pandemic commenced, we weren't even making our own surgical gowns or surgical masks here. And, you know, I mean, the good news was that there was a company in Shepparton which actually started producing surgical masks and other accoutrements to be able to. So that we would actually have supplies on hand. But bizarrely, only 12 or so months later, the federal government said, oh, you know, we can get these masks for 2 cents a piece cheaper in China. And so as a result, all of that hard work to set up and to produce surgical masks suddenly went out the window, because the federal government decided that, they were going to revert to type and privilege so-called competition from overseas above and beyond Australian industry. You know, I mean, we have a government which makes Alice in Wonderland look like a documentary. It's quite appalling that they think the best of all possible worlds. In the meantime, we pass through the looking glass, and we wonder why reality has passed us by, because other countries don't see it in the same sort of rose-coloured glasses. Oh, let's just be a mining country which has got good resources which can be exploited by other countries and which can be developed in other countries so that they can then be sold back to us at an inflated price.
You're with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and that was Andrew Deppner from the Australian Manufacturing Workers Union. And we're just going to get a word from Senator, just a short word from Senator Tim He is. He's a Labor senator from New South Wales. And this was a piece from the Chifley Foundation seminar on regional development, effectively, is what they'd call it. It's got a little slice of information around what has actually happened to that company in Queensland that is producing the technology around lithium batteries for electrical cars.
And I do think there's a role for, you know, regional institutions to get this right. Like, it does make regions stronger. You look at an area like the Hunter, you know, the legacy of all of that cooperation between unions and government and business in the Hunter is still visible in institutions in the Hunter, you know, 20 or so years after the closure of BHP, and it's had long-lasting benefits. You know, some of the engineering and innovation capability that still exists around there is a result of that kind of long-term investment. But it also needs a government that that's, you know, getting the economic fundamentals right and driving towards some of these objectives. So just today, President Biden stood up with the CEO of a Brisbane-based Australian manufacturing firm and has announced that that firm will be essentially relocating to the United States to make electric vehicle batteries. That's 500 or 600 jobs. And now, you know, you've got a government over there that's got the scale and has got the ambition and is making the investment happen. And it's, again, a story about Australian innovation and capability and jobs drifting offshore because the government's just lost the plot with focusing on this, too busy fighting sort of political battles about climate and energy policy rather than getting these sort of fundamentals right. So, you know, like a lot of those things, David, I think it's sort of about getting it, you know, getting both things right. You know, we have lost a lot of that capacity to cooperate across business and trade unions and government and our other big institutions. And you know, without rebuilding some of that, without a bit of sort of working together, then, you know, it's going to be hard to make some of these other things, you know, to make real progress.